Awake, no longer. Greatness has arrived. Welcome to the Trophy Room, a PlayStation podcast made by the players for the players. I'm your host, Joseph. Alongside me, the greatest co-host who ever is, whoever will be, Mr. Kyle Stephenson. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty fantastic.
I'm doing pretty fantastic as well, because here we are breaking down episode 7 of The Last of Us HBO show, Left Behind. This episode is called, and it's called that because it's covering the Left Behind DLC from the game. Kyle, this is a really big, important episode for both of us. You watched it. Actually, you just, you know, we're recording a little late because you needed to catch up on some Z's.
Yeah.
So you finally got to watch it. You're going to be the one leading us today, taking us step by step, since it's fresher in your mind.
Screw it up.
No pressure, but all the pressure.
I know.
So, you know, this is a huge one for us. This is one of my favorite Last of Us stories. I know it's one of yours as well.
I think when it comes to like games, I think it's the pinnacle of DLC as well.
Yes. Likewise. I'll try to think of a DLC I like more.
It's up there. One. It's definitely top three.
Absolutely. So Kyle, what were your thoughts walking in on this? Cause this is yet again, another departure from the game.
Yeah, so walking in, I was, I think, as hyped as I ever been, and like I knew the importance of what the story was going to be told from the game, so I was expecting major things. Walking out, I'm not disappointed in the slightest. I love how they adapted it. Some things I wish I saw, but it's just for like my own poking out. But I think they nailed the dynamic of Ellie and Riley and the way they framed it around how episode 6 ended, I think was great.
Yeah. For me, walking into this is my favorite DLC. This is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Last of Us like story, if you can even call it that, right? Because it just goes so well with the main game. That said, I felt like this was a good adaptation from the game to the show. I think they did a good job of explaining why Ellie is displaying Ellie's loneliness without Riley there at the school, which is one of the first scenes. So break it down for us, Kyle, step by step, would you kindly, sir? Yeah.
And to add to that, so I don't forget it, it also makes the line of dialogue from episode 6, the where they're in the room and she shoves everyone I've ever cared for has left me or except for you kind of thing. Like it makes that kind of line of dialogue even stronger, in my opinion, because we know of what Ellie has gone through.
And I mean, it also goes to show as well of just like, you don't know what loss is.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, no, exactly.
She knows just that word as well as you, my friend.
Yeah. The episode opens up with, a house and the horse in a garage. And then we see Joel in a basement of some sort, pretty close to death from the injuries that he sustained in episode 6. And I can't remember if there was any dialogue, but it was literally like, Ellie, you need to go. Leave me. Just go back to Tommy. Go north and find Tommy.
Yeah.
Basically, Joel's saying, like, just leave me to die because I'm not going to make it. Like, he doesn't want to fight. He's just, he's expecting the worst. And then Ellie, visibly and understandably upset, runs up the stairs, about to take the words that Joel said. And as she opens the door, she waits a second, and then we're transported back in time to Ellie at the school. A thing that we did not see in the game at all. We just heard about. We didn't see any of Ellie at the school. She's running. She's jogging with her Walkman. Listen to some good tunes.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah. And she runs, or another girl named Bethany.
Yeah.
Knocks into her. and they get into an altercation, and Bethany's like, what are you going to do about it? You didn't have to do anything about it, but because your friend isn't here anymore to save you. And Ellie attacks her, and we find out gave her an injury that is equal to like 15 stitches or whatnot. Yeah. So Ellie is taken into the principal's office. I think it's Lieutenant Kwong, I believe his name is. And he basically lays it out like, who do you want to be? Do you want to be the one that has to take orders from someone like Bethany? Or do you want to be the one that supervises someone like Bethany and tells them what to do?
Yeah.
And Ellie obviously says, give me the keys. I want to be the supervisor role. I want to be the one that bosses people around.
This is a really, really important scene. Because first off, it shows Ellie has that tendency. Of resorting to violence, right? If pushed, she is going to shove. And the scene afterwards with Captain Kwan, which is him kind of, he's manipulating her 100%. I'm just like, hey, listen, we're buds, we're friends. Let me talk to you about something here.
Yeah, don't let me put you in the hole again.
Yeah, because that didn't work. But let me tell you something. You look like a leader. Mm-hmm. All right. And Bethany, she'll probably shovel shit somewhere. But you could be the person ordering her to shovel shit. You know, you could be an officer like us. We don't go out in patrols, man.
No, look at us. The good food.
Exactly. Yeah. And then just kind of lets her go with her Walkman, which I found that scene is going to have a reflection later on that we're going to get to, that Ellie comes to some realizations. But continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So then, she takes her Walkman. Then we're back in Ellie's room. Ellie, we see a shot of the pun book. We see a shot of Ellie reading the comic Savage Starlight, the Mortal Kombat 2 poster on the wall, which I love it. And then a shot while she's there by herself over to an empty bed. And seemingly the friend that is no longer there, that was probably her bed and there were roommates.
Yep.
Someone says, lights out. Ellie goes to sleep. And then I believe exactly it was like 1:52 a.m. or something like that, close to 2 o'clock. Someone hops in her room, breaks in from the outside, puts her hand over Ellie's mouth, and Ellie freaks out and doesn't know what's happening. And come to find out, it's Riley, her friend that was gone.
Yeah.
And Riley did it as a joke, and we're introduced to Riley. So
a joke that she thought that was gonna land way better.
Would have nailed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to stop here for a second. Storm Reed is a perfect Riley.
Yes.
Perfect.
Their banter together is just
incredible.
Phenomenal.
And that is so important, right? Because Ellie is top notch. A banter person. No one can go toe-to-toe with Ellie, I feel like, if what we've come across.
And we see that Riley is, like, her equal in the shit-talk game.
Yeah. Maybe even more so, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just seem like they understand each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I believe then Riley tells Ellie, come on, let's go. We're gonna take you somewhere. And they end up leaving the apartment, even though Ellie has drills in a few hours and she doesn't want to be gone too long because she had the talk from Kwong, right? She doesn't want to mess it up anymore. And that was her last chance kind of thing. So they go out. They're hopping along rooftops. Second.
Please.
They go in an apartment building and they discover a dead body in the hallway.
Right.
Riley was like, Riley's like, oh, he wasn't here yesterday. That's strange.
Uh-uh.
And if you played the game, this is the guy's who's camping out in the mall. This is that taken from the game, but put in somewhere else. And where they find the alcohol that they get and drink in the game. And basically this guy combined too many pills and real alcohol, not the new moonshine stuff, like an old bottle that he somehow found. And he overdosed and he died, and they were inspecting the body until he fell through the floor, which was they both laughed at.
Yeah. And here's like the twisted thing about like kids growing up in the post-apocalypse, which is just like, you know, first off, this is a kid's night out playing hooky, like
yeah.
sneaking out type of deal, getting to some mischief. Everything is pretty darn innocent, but they walk into a dead body and it's like, it's almost half real, right? It's yeah. like, I remember like as a kid, it's just like, hey, is that like a dead raccoon? Let's go near it type of
Let's
type
poke of it deal. With a stick.
Exactly. Just poke it with a shtick. This is nuts. It was like that type of, it was like, yeah, this could be a clicker or whatever, but like, let's go investigate. Yeah. And the thing that Ellie points out is just like, yeah, this is not the moonshine that we get. You know, this is the real deal. And this guy knew what he was doing. This guy, you know, met the end of his rope,
yeah.
Seemingly. But even then, they're just like, all right. And then they yeah. just kind of went on without their life, which goes to show how dour this, you know, future is.
Absolutely. And then they make it up to the rooftops. And before they're traversing, I believe Ellie and Riley have a conversation of why Riley left. And it's been a few weeks. And Riley finally spills some beans that she joined the Fireflies. And Ellie's like, what the hell are you doing? They kill people like me. They kill Fedra officers and... why are you doing that? And Riley's basically saying like, no, we're not anarchists. We're freedom fighters.
Yeah.
I would never let anyone do anything to harm you. And Ellie's like, well, why are they going to listen to you?
And
you're just a kid.
Both of them have really great points. Like, yeah. First off, this would be like a child debate, right? Like I remember like in high school, like the presidential elections, it's like, you know, I don't like this person. Why? It's like a half-baked idea. Like both yeah. of their reasons for supporting one side or the other. It's complete indoctrination on both sides. Where over it all is the conflict is so gray, which is like, yeah, are the Fireflies really that good? And are Fedra really that good? At least the boss and QZ, are they withholding things or, you know, do the ends justify the means that the Fireflies do? And both of them don't have the answers to the things that they support.
Yeah.
Which I think is, I don't know. Out of most of the conversations in this episode, that one actually I like the most or yeah. one of the most. Yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely a good one. Also, Ellie finds out Riley has a gun and convinces Riley to let her hold the gun.
She says no first.
Yep, she says, come no. on,
dude.
Come on. They made me promise not to let anyone handle the firearm except for me.
And I love the first thing that she realizes is, oh, this thing's heavy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's ammo in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they're hopping along rooftops now, which I don't think I would able to. I personally would be able to.
Not even when ever. I was like 13. No. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I'd be too scared. But they hop along the entire rooftop skyline until they find where they were going, which is an abandoned mall, which is exactly from the game.
Yeah.
And Riley or Ellie goes, what are you talking about? They sealed it off because it's filled with infected. That's why no one's been in there. And Riley goes, well, is it really sealed off? And then they go and find an opening in the rooftop and they hop in, which is great. Because I think this is the thing from the game I wanted to see the most is how they brought the mall from the game to real life.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to like a power room, electrical room. And Riley tells Ellie, all right, I need you to go out the door, make a right. And just wait, tell me when you're there, okay? Just trust me. And this is where the Riley and Ellie dynamic of, like, Riley was giving it back to Ellie and back and forth.
Yeah.
Back and forth. And Ellie's like, no, you're dumb. What are you doing? You're going to electrocute yourself. Why? And Riley's like, just shut up and go. Trust me. She goes out. Ellie's flashlight turns off. And as it turns off fully, the lights to the inside of the mall turn on, and what a shot. Right?
Beautiful. Like,
what a shot. It was gorgeous. The neons, all the storefronts light up. It was great.
I saw GameStop.
Yeah. Yeah.
First off, it's a lot of shit that we would expect in a mall as well. You know, a lot of like a Foot Locker, a CVS, that's pushing it, but this is like Boston, so like a city, maybe someone's going to, I don't know.
I love seeing the like coming soon walled off storefronts. That was great. That was a nice little touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they're going through the mall.
To see the five wonders.
The five wonders. It was going to be four, but the first thing was they came across a escalator, or as Ellie called it, moving stairs. And a great, just pure joy on my face watching Ellie discover a modern technological thing that we all know, with Take On Me playing in the background, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
A very important song to the game series. And Ellie's like, look at me, I'm not even moving. And she's just walking upwards and just playing around being a kid, which I think is why I love most of this episode, because they're being kids.
Yep.
Everyone knows that feeling of like having a friend, going out, having your parents drop you off somewhere. Maybe it's a movie theater or whatnot, and you're just having fun, the joking mall. Around. And Yeah. And then they're going through the mall. Ellie or Riley, they stop at a Victoria's Secret.
Yes.
And Riley goes, I mean, that looks so uncomfortable. Why would anyone want to wear that? And then they stand there for a second, and Riley starts laughing, and Ellie goes, what? And Riley says, I just imagine you wearing one of those things, or wearing that thing. And they both kind of like embarrassingly like joke and laugh it off, and which is a great moment between the two, and it plants the seeds of their, there's some crushing going on between the two of them.
And you see like Ellie's kind of like fixing her hair,
making sure she looks good. Yep. And then they come across the second wonder, which was originally the first wonder.
Yep.
The carousel. How do you feel about the carousel, Joe?
Oh man, I knew I was gonna be hurt. I knew I was gonna get hurt. I knew it was gonna be this episode. Carousel, brilliant way how to, because it kind of works in reverse almost. But the carousel was, you see Ellie fall in love here, right? Like it's not just a crush to her. Like she looks up at Riley and she sees the world. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. We've all been there. We've all been like smitten with someone.
Yeah.
You know, that childhood crush, and you just see it in her eyes perfectly here. I loved all of it.
And they go from just joking around, having a good time, to back to a serious topic of Ellie be like, don't go.
Yeah, please.
And Riley's like, I kind of have to.
Yeah. Or you don't have to.
Yeah. Either. Yeah. A great, stay great here. Little banter. Yeah. Carousel stops working. And then the photo booth, which is the second wonder?
Yeah.
Or like a mid, maybe technically, a 5, I forget.
Yeah, technically wonder 3 or something. Yeah.
And they go to the photo booth, which is a great thing from the DLC as well. I was kind of hoping they would have the like upload to Facebook
thing. That's the one. That is actually the glaring omission, but you know, licensing. Because they'll be like, what's a Facebook? What is... Like, I wanted that line so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they do the goofy poses that you can do in the game. And again, you see them just falling deeper and deeper into not just friends anymore.
Yeah.
They're finally opening up the walls and admitting that they're crushing on each other. Mm-hmm. Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
And then after that is the arcade, the next wonder?
Yes.
Okay. The photo thing breaks down. Ellie really loves the pictures, so Riley gives Ellie the picture of them as a keepsake. And then they stumble across an arcade. And my eyes lit up. I had a smile on my face because I love going to arcades. And the fact that they're not many anymore makes me sad.
Super sad, dude.
Super sad. But they had everything. They had Tetris. They had Daytona 500. Yes. They had Joust, I saw. They had some Lycan games, I believe. But then the granddaddy of them all, Mortal Kombat 2. For, I was like, no way. Hey, do you have the coins? It needs coins. I don't need your paper money. And Riley's like, don't worry. I was here yesterday trying to break in and just open up that token machine, yeah, which as kids is everything we've wanted to do and more.
Right. And like even before, she's just like, they enter, she's like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It's like, it is like, she's a nerd. Ellie's a nerd. Ellie's a gamer they've the rest of us, you know?
Read magazines about this stuff and never actually gotten to play any of it.
And now they see it firsthand. And, you know, what Riley says is like, I did this for you. And, it, you know, Ellie's like she's curious as to, well, did you do this because we're friends? Are you doing this because we're on a date right now? Like, you know, that type of stuff. But Mortal Kombat.
We got to watch them play Mortal Kombat, which was great. Another kid moment.
Yeah, one person knows what absolutely knows what the hell they're doing. The other person not. I love when she goes, she's like, what do we do? Mash buttons. I'm like,
yes.
That's what I do too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Beautiful.
It was great. And here's the one thing I wish they didn't do in this episode.
Tell me.
Is... they're making a lot of noise, right? And they're panning out of the arcade, and then they're going down to like this creepy doll store at the end of the hallway, and they're like snaking around, and you see an infected on the wall and kind of like glitch and come to life because there's noise.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they didn't hint at any infected. Because then you knew something bad was going to happen. Instead of just watching these two be kids the entire episode and then it happens?
I would say this. It makes sense because you know she's alone. So this is how she gets to be alone. This is how she becomes like all of it. Not like this is her origin story now as it is Joel's. Yeah.
Fair. Yeah, I kind of wanted us to just have a
give us a break.
Not even just that. Just like, let's enjoy these characters and their story.
Yeah.
And then I think it would be even more heart-wrenching seeing that clicker or that infected come out of nowhere.
Because then there's like this suspense of, but and that's the other thing too that is really important. It's just like, well, now you have the suspense factor. You know that there's it's gonna danger happen. Here. You know that they're danger, and you know that they're being dumb kids.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, you're like, well, why are they making so much noise? Like, there could be, like, infected here. Yeah. But, and I'm sorry, I'm going to skip ahead for you here.
Yeah.
You know, they go back to, first off, the food court. You see a Subway. Yeah. You see a Panda Express.
An A&W.
God, if they just had a Cinnabon there, it would be perfect. Ugh.
The trifecta, or an Auntie Anne's.
but you see, that's where they've been camping out, the Fireflies, in that area.
Not just the Fireflies, just Riley.
Yeah, that's where she's been stationed.
Yeah, making bombs and whatnot.
Making bombs. And Ellie was just like, oh, really? And where were these going?
Yep.
And this is their fight.
Yep, big fight.
You know, because it goes back to that conversation prior. It's just like, you're going to leave. Danger's going to happen. I'm either going to die because of you or you're going to die because of you. And there's like this really big, like, it goes to show that Ellie is a follower. She isn't really like this natural born leader.
Of what she wants to be, going back to Kwong. She chooses the leader instead of being a follower.
Yeah. And so like, there she's just like, look, they put a roof over my head. They feed me. I feel safe. The Fireflies are the thing that are throwing the bombs, that are blowing up buildings, that are, you know, causing all these rationing, whatever. And, you know, again, the conversation of like, yeah, but we do that when there's, try to do it with no people, or half the time it's not even us, it's Fedra. Fedra's doing it, you know? So, like, there's this, this, like, who can you believe? Obviously, both of them don't have the tools to win this debate. And the fight causes, or sorry, even before the fight, gosh darn it, no, I messed this up.
No, it's okay. There's a pun book.
She gives him the pun book volume 2.
Yeah.
As Ellie's birthday gift.
Mm-hmm. Something they bond over.
Something bond
bad
over.
Bad pun jokes.
Okay, that pun joke, something so small in the game, you know it meant a lot to someone there, and it works 100% of the time.
And I love the one that they're both stumped on of, like, how does a computer get drunk or whatever, and the pun is it takes a screenshot, and like, what's a screenshot? Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. I just want to know, as Bella leaves and she's like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm out of here. Yeah. Right. I want to know, as Ellie's leaving, Bella Ramsey is Ellie. Like I say that I'm like a broken record, but she is nailing the role so well. She sounds like her. She acts like her. Mm-hmm. It's 1-to-1. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Incredible performance by Bella. Cannot be understated. But take away, Kyle.
Yeah, so Ellie leaves Riley and goes all the way back past all the stores that they went through and gets to the door. And I'm trying to think, do we get a flashback to present here?
Yes. You see her
briefly?
Yeah, briefly. She starts running around, scrambling to get stuff for Joel.
Yeah, and so then it's very brief, and then we cut back to Ellie, and she is running back to Riley,
yep.
And then she starts hearing, like, yelling and screaming that we think is Riley, and something I was very worried that we weren't going to get, because it happens earlier in the DLC.
Same.
And she stumbles into a Halloween store, and it's one of the animatronic things going off, and she looks over and Riley is there on the ground, very upset.
Yeah.
And they have a nice little heart-to-heart kind of talk.
Yeah. It kind of set everything right. The night's not over.
That's not over. Well, that's, we got just more to show.
Yeah, like, you know, let's not end the friendship on this note. Let's end it on a high note.
Yeah.
All right, now this is where they done mess up. This is when they done guffed, okay?
Uh-oh.
She said, give me your cassette. Give me your Walkman.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? She's like, I'm going to play some music. Get us in the mood. Get us dancing. Mm-hmm. Puts a cassette in. I forget the song, but it's great. It sets the mood. It's a love song. There you go. Thank you. Riley hands Ellie a mask.
Game accurate, by the way, too. And
it got me thinking. I'm like, that's so. Here's the thing. That's so game accurate.
Yeah.
That I'm like, how were they able to do it?
Yeah.
How were they, like,
especially the clown mask. Oh my god.
I was blown away by the wolf mask. I'm like, how did you do this? Mm-hmm. This looks like you literally. How? I don't know. I just want to talk.
Yeah. Agreed.
Amazing moment shared there.
And they're dancing on top of the glass cases in the masks, which in the game is the thing that I just, for me, kind of wish I saw, was the water gun fight.
Yeah.
I mean, Ellie made reference of, like, oh, what are you going to have? Water pistols? Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. What's she's like, what's the president? Is it a water gun?
Yeah, would be great. Because in the game, they're dancing on top of the same kind of glass case, but it's after the water fight.
Yeah.
But here, they're dancing with the masks on, and they're having a great time being kids. And then all of a sudden, you see Ellie just kind of, like, stop, and is watching Riley dance. And then she takes the mask off, and she then says again, like, please don't go.
Yeah.
And Riley says, okay. Then they kiss, and it's a beautiful moment. Oh my god, teared up big time.
Yep. This is, I was like, all right. So this was the closest point of tears that I got, was right here. I was just like, all right, this is gonna get me. The childhood crush, the child, like the your first, all of it right here.
Yep.
It's a really pure moment. And of just like, what do we do next? Well, I don't know. We'll figure that out together type of thing.
Yep.
Then met by the worst sound moment in their in their life. Yeah.
Hear a sound from the other side of one of the contraptions in the store, and outburst then infected. And Riley shoots like 4 or 5 shots at the thing immediately, doesn't take it out. And then there's a struggle. Riley's knocked out cold. Ellie's fighting it off, trying to stab it and whatnot. Riley comes to, gets it off of Ellie.
But then because they fall into a gondola, you know, and the gondola comes crashing down on Ellie and the infected.
Yep.
Yeah. So I continue.
And then Ellie takes out the switchblade, stabs the infected in the head. So that is the first time Ellie has ever killed something. And Ellie's like, oh my God, that's crazy. We did it. And Riley, this is where I cried. Riley looks over and you see just how devastated she is. And she looks down and then we see the bite on Ellie. So that is how Ellie gets her bite and how this whole she finds out she's immune kind of thing happens. And here's where the tears started, because of Storm Reed's facial expression, where all she does is just lifts up her hand and it's kind of like a,
I'm fucked here too, bud.
Like a, yeah. Yeah. And, that broke me. That just the fact of their worlds come crashing down together in that moment, right before then, all they cared about were each other.
Yeah.
And now they're both screwed. They're both going to die because that's all they've known. You got bit, you're done.
Yeah.
And then they're sitting there and they're going through all the options. Like option one, we take the easy way out, basically killing themselves with the gun because Riley's holding the gun. Or option two, we can just go crazy together, which is very beautiful in its own right. And Ellie's like, what about option three? And, I think that flashback ends with just Ellie cozying up to Riley, head on the shoulder. And then that's all we see of that situation. And everything else is inferred of what happens from what we've learned throughout the show prior.
Yep.
And even in the game, we don't see what happens either, which is great.
Oh, some people were a little upset that we didn't see the shot. I was like, I could do without it. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. No.
You know what happens. Just paint in your mind. We don't need to see kid murder here.
I'm fine.
Yeah. No, this was a really powerful moment. This was, this was some good ass television yet again.
And just to think of Ellie obviously staying there, right? Like, because I'm pretty sure that's how Marlene finds her.
Yeah.
And just to think of how devastating that is to watch the girl you're crushing on, the girl you love, turn into one of those things. Or even before then, having to be the one that takes her out. It's got to do something for Ellie, and I think that's why she's even more standoffish when we first meet her in the show.
Yeah.
Because of what went down.
Yeah. How did you like this between this and the game?
The whole section?
Yeah. What did you prefer, the game?
I think they nailed their dynamic, which is what that whole DLC is.
Yeah.
I think all the mini game stuff, like throwing bricks into cars, which we don't get in the show. That whole competition and whatnot. I think they can both exist. And I'm happy with both, but I really love how they've turned it into the show. I think I like that a little bit more.
I actually like the game a bit more still.
Fair.
I think this is like, again, when I'm like putting them up against each other too, it's, I love them both.
Yeah.
But I am choosing my favorite child here. I think the game, there are those little things of like, let's throw bricks at stuff. It's like, like those dumb little things of like being a kid. Yeah. Like I loved it there, and I loved the flashbacks. I think the thing that I missed here was I would have liked this to be an hour-long episode, and we get to see her run into David here.
Oh, okay, yeah, cause so then after that we hop back, and Ellie finds Thread, and
yeah, there you go, and starts
stitching up Joel.
Yep.
And Joel showing that he's going to still fight because Ellie came back. Like, yep. A little hand squeeze, I think, was a great shot. And then, yeah, Ellie's just stitching him up. And yeah, I think missing the other, cause I don't think we're going to get it next episode. I could be wrong.
Hmm.
Of Ellie going into another abandoned mall, like in the DLC.
Yeah. No, I and don't think that's where
she's
that.
Finding all the medicine for Joel. So
absolutely.
I think that's just going to be something David offers, like the game, but. Yeah. Without the mall stuff.
My question here is, do we think, again, no spoilers, by the way, we're not doing how the game ends, but do we think we get the rabbit? I don't think we get the rabbit, and that's kind of a bummer to me.
Do I think we get the...
I think so.
Yeah. I think we get the rabbit.
Okay. Is this going to be different, you think?
No.
Okay.
I think we're going to see another small time jump.
Oh, okay. Okay. That said, episode 8 is going to be it. This episode 8 is going to make it or break it. And listen, I love this show so far. They've done a phenomenal job. Episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
David, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
That, the way they handle it, will determine if this is the best video game adaptation of a show.
I have a good feeling they know.
Oh, yeah.
I have, because if you watch the stuff afterwards, there are some interview shots that are happening in a certain diner from the beginning. So, like, I think they know. And even the, like, next on thing, like, it ends with the fire.
Yeah.
And it, shout out to Troy Baker, who we're going to see next week. And it looks like he's got an expanded role of that character from the game.
I want to know if he does his Joel voice.
Just say it with your chest. It's going to be freaking wild. Yeah. Also, I don't know if you've noticed. Leading up to this episode, I saw, oh, yeah, the runtime is going to be like 46 minutes. This was an hour-long episode.
Yeah.
So, like, those previous runtimes, I think, don't matter.
Inaccurate. Yeah.
They're inaccurate. So,
okay.
If we get another hour 15 of David next week, if I look at the time when the episode starts,
Kyle,
and I see it's in over an hour, I know they're going to nail it.
Yeah.
I know. Because that there's a lot in there. There's... the team up section, if they're even going to do that.
No way.
I don't know.
All right.
There's the interrogation. There's Nolan North pops up in because he voices that character in the game.
I mean, there's so many things. There's so many things.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the chase. There's the
things.
It's whoo boy. Hold on to your butts, everybody.
Whew. Well, that's it.
Two weeks left.
I don't know how I'm going to emotionally recover because I think, isn't it next week? I got Mando, right? There's some overlap between Lazarus and Mando.
Oh, it's going to be Pedro season even more so now?
Mm-hmm. God bless. That man is eating well. That being said, that's been the Trophy Room Breaks Down.
Yeah.
The Last of Us, Episode 6. Kyle, is there anything you'd like to spotlight before you get on out of here?
No, you know where to find me. Mr. K-Step, 6th1 Indie, all that jazz.
Yeah. Everybody, you can find me over at Mr. Badbit on Twitter. You can find the show over at PS Trophy Room on Twitter. You can support the show over on Patreon at PS Trophy Room on Patreon. You can subscribe, like, share this episode with your friends. And if you want more PlayStation goodness, PlayStation news, well, you come to the right place because the Trophy Room is all about breaking down the most popular stories that happened in PlayStation that week. So if you're into that type of stuff, please hit like, share, subscribe, because it helps us out and grows the show. And if you're on Patreon, you already know that because you're amazing. So with all that said, with all that out of the way, everybody keep your wits about you, keep hunting, and endure and survive.
Bye. Love you.